Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is, Thursday, February 17th, 2022. And today we are reading from the big book, starting over in the beginning. We're on the preface page, page XI. And we are going to read paragraph 1 and paragraph 2 and comment on both of those today. It begins with, this is the fourth edition of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and ends with our society's great medical benefactor. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Linda B., the 12 traditions, Lorraine N. Reading the text today is Stephanie L. and Jody EQ. And the support today for the end of the meeting, newcomer greeter Lois P., and the announcement will be Betsy H. The share ID numbers for yesterday's Big Book Study meeting, the 10 a.m. time, was 18562, 18,562, and that would be Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. And then this morning, the 7 a.m. meeting, share ID number is 18565. 18,565, and that's Thursday, February 16th, 2022. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Linda B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada. I will now ask Lorraine N. from Oregon to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, my fellows. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon for today. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much for the opportunity to read, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Lorraine, and from Oregon. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Please observe the star 1 key function only as your means of muting, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the preface. Today on page XI, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2, it begins with, this is the fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and ends with, our society's great medical benefactor. We're going to be able to read and discuss both of those paragraphs today. And I would like Stephanie L. to begin and open us up by reading those paragraphs. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Preface. This is the fourth edition of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. The first edition appeared in April 1939, and in the following 16 years, more than 300,000 copies went into circulation. The second edition, published in 1955, reached a total of more than 1,150,500 copies. The third edition, which came off press in 1976, achieved a circulation of approximately 19,550,000 in all formats. Because this book has become the basic text for our society and has helped such a large number of alcoholic men and women to recovery, there exists strong sentiment against radical changes being made in it. Therefore, the first portion of this volume describing the AA recovery program has been left largely untouched in the course of revisions made for the second, third, and fourth editions. The section called The Doctor's Opinion has been kept intact just as it was originally written in 1939 by the late Dr. William D. Silkworth, our society's great medical benefactor. Whew! That's a lot of reading. Wow. I really thought I was going to screw up on the number of copies, but wow. So in these two paragraphs, whenever I read the preface and whenever I read the first paragraph of the preface, I'm always struck by how the rapid growth of this program, you know, started with 100 men and women. I believe we read that yesterday, who recovered from this hopeless state of body and mind, to the first edition, 300,000 copies, the second edition, you know, over 1 million, and then the third, 19 million. And then it tells us that this book is the basic text for our society, really our program, and that it's helped a large number of people just like me. And when I read that, I'm given a tremendous amount of hope that this really does work, right? This works for people who think about food like I think about food, who obsess about food like me, who eat like me, who have the same shame and fear and guilt that I do about not only what I do with food, but what I do in my life. So this text, if I read this basic text, I'm a graduate student, so I read a lot of basic texts, and if I read this book like, you know, a textbook, and if I apply this in my life and do the things this book is going to tell us to do, that this too will work for me. And then another testament to that is the fact that after all of these editions, the first 164 pages, it says here, has been largely left untouched because they still apply. It still works. It worked in 1939, and it works in the year 2022, and that's amazing. And then the other thing that struck me was talking about recovery and recovered. And, you know, on page 24, what came to me this morning was on page 20 or page 25, it says, that, you know, really my interpretation of being recovered and my experience with it is this, that the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. And I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I just want to give people hope. If you're new, if you're struggling, if you're in relapse, I was there, I was in relapse about a year and a couple weeks ago, and I was hopeless. And, you know, this book has brought me to the power that has given me freedom from this merciless obsession, right? And it tells us that, you know, life is going to be different. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to live that way anymore if I just keep doing this work. And that's an amazing deal. So I can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say this morning. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass. Oh, Melanie, we can't hear you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. I wanted to let folks know that we're about to open it up for additional shares on those particular paragraphs today. We're on page XI of the preface of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is more than a book designed to transmit information. It's designed to transmit an experience, and this is where we're going to kick it off. First two paragraphs are going to unpack. If you give me your first name, the first initial, your last name, and your state, I can take down some names to begin.
Hi, Debbie P. from Indiana.
Hi, Debbie P.
Lorraine E.
Lorraine E.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Sandy K, Florida.
Sandy K.
Linda B, Canada.
Linda B, Canada. Okay, sounds like a good lineup. Let's start with that. And thank you all for respecting that. We are excited to hear all from all of you, but to share every third day so that others can come in and share as well. This is a very, very hefty time of the year. So we're looking for Debbie P., Lorraine E., Donna B., Sandy K., and Linda B. You're up first, Debbie P., for 3 minutes.
Good morning, everyone. This is Debbie P., and I'm from Indiana. I'm a recovered or not recovered yet, but compulsive overeater. I am 11 days into coming back from a relapse, and some of the verbiage in this book is really just hitting me differently than it ever has, and so I'm excited about starting the beginning again. What caught my attention today was the basic text for our society, and I never really thought about that before, but this 12-step program is a society, and we all understand the language. I remember coming into a 12-step program and not understanding the verbiage and, you know, having to learn all of that. It's a wonderful fellowship, society, if you will. And this whole, the previous speaker, the opening speaker, I just loved what she had to share about, you know, the hope, because that's what I felt when I read this. So anyway, thank you for letting me share, and thank you all for being here and part of my recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie P. from Indiana. The next person up is Lorraine E., and then Donna B. will follow you, Lorraine.
Thank you so much. I'm a recovered just for today, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for everyone's service. Yeah, I came in on the tail end of what was read, and what I heard was hope. And before I found OA, I had no hope. And the reason I didn't have any hope was because I was still relying on myself. I was relying on myself for the answers, for the solutions to life, to the food, to my defects. But I was powerless. I wasn't just powerless over food. I was powerless over everything. And life was a mess. And it wasn't until I came to this program and I opened up this book and I got a sponsor and I got that willingness to follow those directions. And I really surrendered. But that's really what kept me in that hopeless state, I think, was that I just wasn't willing to let go of that control. And for today, when I get on and do service and I get out of my head, then that's me surrendering to my higher power, to the program. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you again for everyone being here. And I'll pass. Lorraine E. in Washington.
Thank you, Lorraine E. Thank you. Donna B., you're up next. And then Sandy K. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. And thank you for the beautiful opening. I was listening to the words, but I was also sensing the feelings that it evoked, the laughter and the excitement and the enthusiasm and the hope. It was just so beautiful, and it made me want to be a part of this, this amazing history that continues to evolve in our lives today. This part about the book being largely left untouched really jumps out at me, especially in today's world. And I'm thinking about printers. I don't know how many of you have tried to get a printer fixed. But we've reached a point where fixing printers is more expensive than just buying a new printer. And that seems to be true with so many electronic devices and so many products that I use in my day-to-day life, that there's more value in throwing them away than in recovering them. And so here we have another spiritual axiom, that this book has been so effective, so miraculous, so inspiring, that there is absolutely no need to change it, that there is greater value in keeping it exactly the way that it is and in throwing it away. I just love that we have something of such great value so readily available for us in our lives today. So grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. from Colorado. Sandy K. from Florida, you're up next, and then Linda B. will follow you. But folks, in 6 minutes, then after Sandy shares, I'm going to open up the line for additional comments on paragraph 1 and 2 from the preface, page XI of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So if you want to get ready. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning. Thank you very much. This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And it is a blessing that I can say recovered just for today. I love that. I just love that. The other thing that I love is when that no one touched Dr. Silkworth's opinion, because what would I change? I wouldn't change anything. And if it weren't for the opinion in the Big Book talking about the allergy of the body, I probably would either, number one, be dead or, 500 pounds. Because the allergy, which is mentioned in his opinion in the chapter, is the reason, it was the hook I needed to stay here. Because when I think about how humble the doctor was, that he's admitted that most people he sees he can't help, I mean, that is humility. And when I and I didn't have that. I didn't even know what humility meant. I thought it meant humiliation. And when I came in, the humility that it gave me, the grounding that this opinion gave me, that the whole book has given me, that I do have that mental twist, and that I do have an obsession, of the mind and the physical allergy. And the other part that really resonated with me was actually what somebody before me said, that this is a textbook. It's not like reading a storybook to your child or grandchild or whatever. It's a textbook, and it should be read and digested like we're doing here, unpacking it, usually one paragraph at a time. And I gave this book to a friend who had asked me for it, and she has been obese almost as long as I know her, and I know her for, over 30 years. And she read it and she handed it back to me and she said, well, that was interesting. So there's only so much I can do. God has to do the rest. And thank God when I was handed this book, not the first time, but the second time, I was able to stay in program. And if not for this book, I would not have the life I had today. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy K. from Florida. Next up is Linda B. from Canada, and then we'll open it up again for more comments. Hi, Linda.
Hi, it's Linda B., compulsive eater from Canada. I was first introduced to the Big Book approximately 17 years ago, and when I first started reading it, I thought, oh, yeah, this isn't a romance novel. This is a basic text, and I found it very boring, and I could not get my head around it. And then when I went to an OA meeting and they pulled out the Big Book, I thought, oh no, here we go again. We got that blue Big Book. Anyways, my point is that thank you to A Vision for You. You have brought this Big Book alive for me. I cherish this book like I never have in the past 17 years, and it truly has become a book that is, well, I must have a couple copies of it. There's one on the coffee table. There's one by my bed. There's one on the kitchen table. It's my go-to book today. It's my basic text for living. And I have to give credit to so many people, the God of my understanding, my sponsor, people I've talked to on reach out calls, special editions. I don't want to leave anyone out, but it really, really has come alive. And it tugs at my heartstrings. And I was listening to the meeting yesterday with everyone shares, and they were so deep and heartfelt and so emotional. And I was so feeling so much gratitude for finally getting my weary butt to a vision for you, and not just listening, but, you know, volunteering for service and reaching out to newcomers. And filled with gratitude, and I'm really looking forward to going through the first 169 pages. With that, I'll pass. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada. The lines are now open for additional comments. You'll find us on page XI, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the preface. And we are sharing on the first two paragraphs. It begins with, this is the fourth edition of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, and ends with, our society's great medical benefactor. If you have not shared in the last 3 days, we would love to entertain your option for sharing today. If you give me your first name, the first letter of your last name, and your state, I can take a few more names today.
Hi,
Noel. I think I heard Daisy and Noel. Did I?
Katie.
I heard a Katie.
Beth G. in Maryland.
Beth G.
Susan S. Louisiana.
Susan S. like
Sam.
Steve
B. Florida.
S. is in Sam.
And then I hear a Steve B. in Florida. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's close that line. It sounds good. I think I got you, Daisy. I think you're actually the first one here. So let's see what I got, okay? Daisy B., I have Noel, Katie V., Beth G., Susan S., and Steve B. So let's head out with you, Daisy B. Your three starts now.
Hi, this is Daisy B. in California. I think it actually wasn't me who was first to say, but I took the opportunity to go anyway. So there might be somebody else in there. But anyway, this is Daisy B., a compulsive overeater in California. As I was reading this, the line that really stuck out to me was the strong sentiment against any radical changes being made to it. And I'm glad that any radical changes haven't been made to it. And I do see this in a lot of ways as a textbook and a set of instructions that I need to follow. But I also, you know, am glad that the textbooks of today are probably not the same as they were in 1939. I hope the science textbooks aren't the same. I hope that they've been updated. At the same time, you know, this book isn't just a textbook. It's also, to me, divinely inspired. It's also, you know, has spirit working through it. And when it comes to literature or religious texts or all sorts of things, I think it's much more helpful to keep them intact. And instead, it's important for me to do the work of, okay, what's the cultural context of this? What did this word mean in 1939? You know, what was the history behind this, and really doing the work to dig in of where is this book in history, and then apply it to my life. I wasn't expecting to share so early, so that was a bit of a ramble, but I appreciate just being here and studying this text with you. So thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Daisy B. from California. Noel, you're up next. Good morning to you.
Hi, this is Noelle E., gratefully recovered in Louisiana. Thank you, Melanie, and everybody for your service on this line. And I missed the first share, but everybody's talked so much about it. You better believe I'll be dialing in and listening to it after this is done. Man, these are such good paragraphs. I circled and looked at the word society, which is an organization or club formed for a particular purpose. And that is, like, you know, the purpose of being of being a child of God and being of service is like the whole purpose of what this book translates is being in a relationship with a higher power. And I love being a part of the society. And I the text being unchanged is so important to me because it it just is such an inspirational holy work is how I feel about it, particularly because of how vulnerable these white men in 1930s were being, and I am I'm currently raising two white men. One is 4 and one is 2. So I'm new at it, but I know that we all have a hope for them that is different than anything that's been before. And I know the best thing I can do for them is recover. And so it just is so important for me to read about, I'm kind of going all over the place like that person before, but I just think it's so important that the words are written as they were at first so we can see just how transformed these people were at a time when this was absolutely, absolutely the most, unpopular thing to do, particularly for these guys. And I believe, too, I'm right now currently working with my sponsee, on inventory. And there's so much language there that you just get to be like, well, now, all these years later, this is how it's evolved. But you just get to, be a student of it and study it, and it can speak to all of us differently. And so I really do believe that, this is the most holy thing I've ever read, completely, completely transforming, and should be left as it is, largely untouched. All right. Thanks, everybody. All right.
Thank you, Noelle A. from Louisiana. Katie V., you're up next, and then Beth G. will follow you. As I say Katie G., I meant Katie V. and Victor.
Yeah, I am here. Thank you. Hi, Katie V., recovered compulsive overeater in Orange County, California. Wow, super cool to be on the line because I moved from New York, and I used to go to the 7 a.m. Eastern, and then I stopped coming for a long time. And, of course, it's the very first page of the book when I come back to Vision for You, and that's really exciting to me. My higher power has a great sense of humor. I love these first two paragraphs because when I first read them, when I first got here, I was like, why are we reading the preface? Why are we reading all this crap in the beginning? Like, let's get to the good stuff. I want to be in chapter one, right? Because that's who I am before, and still how I can be. I'm impatient, and I want to get to the good stuff. Let's just do it already, But the prefaces and the forewords are so important to read the historical context, and also just to hear about how this works, right? It's the traditions. It's the skeleton of this program, the history, and everything that I and everyone who helps me by doing this before I did, right? Everyone who's carried this message to me from years and years and years ago. And, when I first started reading this with my sponsor, she said, we stopped at basic text, and she said, don't fix what works, right? It's helped so many people recover. Why not me? And when I first got here, I really didn't think that this was going to work for me. I had been compulsively eating since I was a kid. I had just come off of losing 200 pounds after being 350 pounds and gaining 80 pounds back. I was beaten and I was broken by this disease, and my vanity certainly, almost more than anything else, but my soul was also dead. And so I wasn't ready to ingest this book the way it needed to be ingested. And once I went through the 12 steps and had a psychic change and took a sponsee back to this very same page, and we read, this is the basic text. And I told her, don't fix what works. I realized, wow, this does work. If you're new, I found my solution here. I am gratefully living in recovery. I'm free in my soul. I live with way less fear, not no fear, but way less. And I have a higher power who works in all conditions. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Katie V. from New York. Beth G. from Maryland, you're up next, and then Susan S. will follow you.
Hi, this is Beth G. in Maryland, and I first wanted to say thank you all for being here. I'm returning to program after a long absence, and I can tell you a few minutes ago, I had tears in my eyes that I was hearing so much beautiful strength and hope, and I wanted to say that it's funny because just yesterday I was talking to my sponsor who was leading me through the big book, and we were talking about, I had the question of, you know, wouldn't it be easier if this was like kind of like translated, like, you know, how the Bible is translated into many different versions, maybe to bring it more up to date. And, you know, easier to read, you know, instead of people having to stumble over some words that are not frequently used nowadays. And, you know, we were actually talking about this topic, and I think it does lead to the fact that, you know, this program has worked for so many people. These 164 pages have helped so many, you know, and really why mess with a good thing? And, you know, something could be lost in translation. And in closing, I just wanted to say again, thank you all for being here. I cannot tell you how happy I am to be lucky enough to say, oh, I'm going to do my first meeting in many, many years this morning at this time and be able to get a vision for you, which is under V for you in my phone book. And I just am really grateful to be back, and I have missed the serenity that program allowed me to have, and I'm slowly getting that back, and I am just grateful to my higher power and program. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Beth G. from Maryland. Susan S., you're up next, and then Steve will follow you, and I think we'll have time to open it up again for a couple more. So be prepared. 6 minutes. Susan S. Did I hear Susan S? Star one, please.
I'm sorry. This is my first time doing a meeting, and I'm you know, the Vision for You live meeting, and I just found out about a Vision for You. My name is Susan S, and I'm an overeater, and I joined Overeaters Anonymous in 2019, but today is my first day coming back, you know, from a relapse. And so I was excited to find out about A Vision for You, and I've already, you know, listened to some of the podcasts and everything, and it's just a wonderful tool, and I, you know, want to recommend it to everybody. And so about the preface, I just find that for me, it's just so amazing that, you know, here was a book written in the 1930s, and, you know, here we are in 2022, and it's like, it doesn't matter if you've been in the program for one day or 30 years, and it doesn't matter if you start at the preface or, you know, start on page 200. It's, you know, you can be at any point in your life, any point in time, any point in the book, and you can just start, and all important and applicable. It like meets you where you are in life, in you know, time. And I just find that very fascinating, and this kind of gives testimony to how well this program works for everybody, and the fact that they have built on Alcoholics Anonymous and made Overeaters Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous. It just kind of really lends, you know, gives testimony to how much these 12 steps work. And, you know, I tell so many of my family members now that I'm a firm believer that everybody in the world needs to be in some form of 12-step program, because it's just so helpful to life, you know, to, you know, our psychological well-being. I think it just makes us better people. And so with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Susan S. And are you from Louisiana, did you say earlier?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I am from Louisiana.
Great. Well, welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much. Next up for sharing on paragraph 1 and 2 from the preface on XI is Steve B. from Florida. And then we're going to open it up probably for at least two more shares. You want to get prepared. Hi, Steve.
Hi, my name's Steve B. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Florida. And, you know, the prefaces and forwards, when I first read the book through, with the sponsor in another program, he said, and I heard this statement earlier, you know, hey, we're going to start, you know, at this page right here. And I was thinking to myself, well, why are we going to do that? And because I had never started on the Roman numerals before. And he just had to tell me, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in there. And the thing that he really wanted me to focus on with these prefaces and forwards was the amount of times that they use, you know, the word we or our, and he kind of connected that with that, you know, the first word and the first step is we, and how my disease wants me to isolate from everything and everyone, and that I don't have to live that way anymore. And it was really, you know, profound, because I went through and I did the exercise, and there's a lot of it. There's a lot of we's and ours and just plural, you know, to get the sense of community. And I'm really grateful for that, because I've never had any sort of community before recovery. I had a lot of people in my life that loved me and all that, but I never really felt like there were people that could that actually got me. Until I, you know, came into, you know, program like Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm grateful for the big book, and it has saved my life, and it saved the life of many other people. It's not just me. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Steve B. from Florida. There's time for at least two more people to comment on paragraph 1 and 2 from page XI of the preface of the big book. I'd like to take your first
Larry
name, first initial, your last name. Hey, Larry G.
Larry G.
From California.
Mm-hmm.
Juanice. Juanice, is that what you, is that you?
Yes, Juanice, like Juanita, but Juanice.
Okay, Juanice N. from California. Okay, great. Larry G., you're up first for 3.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Thank you, Mel, for your service and those who are supporting this call today. Let me tell you a story about myself, who in 1997 decided that this book needed to be rewritten. I had been active in AA and OA, had a 100-pound weight loss in OA. That entire absence, as defined by the doctor's opinion, you know, I was working with an OA sponsor who also had 30 years in AA, and we were studying the big book. No coincidence. I had got divorced in 1996 and started dating, thinking I had the skills to have a different relationship. And I met a woman who was really a kind woman, big heart, you know, beautiful inside and out. But she was came from New Thought. She was a Mormon. And I would show her the big book, and she decided she was going to rewrite it. So she downloaded a PDF and started changing the words. And I would have done anything for her. I didn't have the tools then to set boundaries. And so I started to believe that there's no value in surrendering or powerlessness, because I'm powerful, right? I'm a co-creator of the universe. And because I'm a co-creator, I can do anything I want to do. And I stopped going to OA. And within a year, I gained back 100 pounds and was dying. I came back in OA in 2000, crawling on my hands and knees, and back to AA. And guess what? The first thing I picked up in AA was the big book and started studying it. You know, if there's people on the call who believe that this book should be rewritten, I have a suggestion. You know, go to a self-help bookstore, buy the latest self-help that is a self-help book that doesn't have a bulky language, has new pronouns, and that has been on the New York bestseller list, which the next day will be in the discount bin. And then come back and share your experience and how you relapsed like I did. If there was a fire today, this book would be the first thing I'd pick up. And I'm so grateful that I found this fellowship. We study one paragraph a day. It's so powerful. The vibration of this call is so powerful, having, you know, 300, 400 people studying one paragraph, one line a day. It has transformed my life. And I don't say that to be dramatic. It has given me a life worth living. And I never thought that this would be the way that I'd find the kind of abstinence that was always beyond my grasp. Thank you, and I wish everybody well today.
Thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Juanice N. from California, you're up for three.
Hi, good morning. My name is Juanice N. from California, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And, oh my gosh, I just love this book so much. And I have been waiting a while, too, to get back to the beginning so I could go through the whole thing with you guys. For this part where it says that this volume has been left largely untouched, for me was a huge turning point in my recovery. And it's because there was just one thing that I knew I couldn't do. I couldn't articulate it. I wasn't really aware of it consciously, but I knew subconsciously, knew that I could not trust anybody. I couldn't trust anybody. And when I got to this portion of the book and it told me that it has been left untouched since 1939, I was like, okay, so that means that man hasn't got into it and put their spin on it and their opinion, because those things I couldn't trust. And I knew deep down in my soul that if I couldn't learn to trust, that I was not going to recover. And this part is what helped me to just barely open that door just a little bit to say, you know what? I'm going to try to trust this, simply because it has been kept the same and hasn't been changed since 1939 and helped all of these people. And that's all I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Juanice. It looks like there's time for probably at least one 90-minute share. If you'd like to share on paragraph 1 and 2 of page XI of the big book, I'd love to hear from you. Annabelle Z.
Stephanie.
Got it. Oh, hi, Stephanie. Annabelle came in just before you, just this minute before.
Fine.
My
Thank
apologies.
You.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Annabelle Z, 90 seconds for you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Annabelle Z, recovered in Washington State. And I wasn't going to share because I didn't want to be negative, but it's not negative. It's because I trust in this book so much. So about 2 months ago, I had to do a 10th step because someone with a long, long time in the other program came up to me at a meeting and talked to me about how she was offended because I said the word God so much, and it was just repelling. And, you know, I was so alarmed and I was like a deer in the headlights, like, wait, what? And the topic was about finding a higher power and God, and, you know, everybody else was talking about it. And I just, I wish I had been more alert and able to say what I would say today, which is, it sounds like you need to do a 10th step, or have you read the book lately, or, you know, anything. And apparently, so I talked to another friend who also has a lot of time in the program, and he said, you know what, this is today. They want to take the word God out of the big book. And I thought, oh my gosh, how tragic. And I've never been moved to be politically active in any way because I couldn't care about politics because I ceased fighting anything and anyone. So I didn't know what to do about it. I'm like, I don't want to fight, but this is my big book. This is how I stay alive. And God is my only source today because I'm powerless. And thank God that we had this as a topic on the meeting, because I hear that,
time?
Yes. Okay, thank you. I'm just reassured. I'm reassured, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Annabelle Z. And thank you to everyone that shared today and that happened to be of service here at a vision for you to make this particular meeting possible. Annabelle's share will be the last one we have during the recorded hour. We're going to close out this meeting, at least the recorded portion, by having Jody E. read from page 164, but we still have 10 minutes left, so don't go away. It's very important information coming up for Lois and Betsy, so stay with us to the top of the hour in that unrecorded 10-minute piece. But in the meantime, Jody E., would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Gladly. Yes, this is Jody E., recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.